You know, I love to read, and I'll read anything. I have reading materials all over my house. I got reading materials in the water closet. If you don't know what that is, it's a private room, right? And it's a place where you do most of your thinking. I have reading material there. I got reading material beside my couch. I got reading material around a little nook here around my kitchen area. I got reading material everywhere. I got reading material in my car, and it's called books on tape or books on audio. And I just love, I'll read anything. I read sale papers. I read just anything because I love to read. The only other thing that I love to do almost as much as reading that I can share with you is, I like to listen to news because I just love learning stuff. And I've become like this plethora of useless trivia. There's trivia on everything. But anyway, the other day I was you know, kind of watching something, and I saw an article on the most beautiful woman in the world. And that's what the article said. You know, People Magazine has crowned this lady as the most beautiful woman in the world. In case you haven't seen it, this is what they say. This is who they say is the most beautiful woman in the world. It's Jennifer Aniston, and I think Jennifer Aniston is, I think she's a good-looking lady, she's an attractive lady, and if you ever watch a TV show, the sitcom back about 10 years ago, about 15 years ago, Friends, she was the girl next door, the lovable Rachel from The Girls Next Door. Anyway, as I saw this article, I started like thinking through and started paging through the article, and I saw different pictures. I saw different pictures of her, you know, and every picture, you know, she was talking about her life and how she works out, you know, an hour each day, 6 days a week, and that she eats right, but occasionally she allows herself to have a slice of pizza and just, you know, but everything was like perfect hair, perfect makeup, perfect body, perfect wind, even kind of like blowing in the hair. Perfect airbrush. Perfect everything. And so, you know, I started thinking, I'm like, okay, I wonder who are some of these other beautiful people, you know, who were the contestants for the beautiful people in America? I was looking to see my picture of my wife, and obviously they didn't look in all of America because they would have certainly found her. She could get... She would have taken her out. Guys, 24 years in 2 weeks. You don't get to 24 years without knowing how to sauce. Anyway, so as I was doing, I said, let me see some of who these other people are. So I Google, because most of life answers can be answered with Google. Right? Most arguments can be answered with Google. And so I Googled the most beautiful woman in America, and I saw a list. And on that list, there were some of the usual suspects, some of the people that you would expect, and some of the people that you wouldn't really expect, I guess, you know, or some names that I knew, some names I didn't know. I saw names like, if you guys are into pop culture, you know some of these names, like Scarlett Johansson. Who is she? You guys know what? Lucy? Marvel? All right, Marvel movies. Rihanna, do you guys know Rihanna? Rihanna is number 3, as a matter of fact, of the most beautiful women in America. And one of my old-time favorites, she was number 20, Halle Berry. Yeah. It's been around a few years, but yeah. And Gabrielle Union was on the list. And so they went down the list. But as I went through the list, I saw everything looking the same in all these pictures. Perfect hair. Perfect makeup, perfect body at least, the airbrush version, perfect wind, just right, blowing through the hair or the weave of the hair. And so I was like thinking, like, So then I started saying, well, they talked about the body, you know, what makes the perfect body? So I Googled that too. I say, what? Because I'm looking for perfection, right? And so, anyway, what Google says is that the best body for a woman And by the way, there's a woman that has this body. They call her perfectly average. She's perfectly proportioned, perfectly average. And it says that her name, by the way, she's a fit model. Clothing manufacturers use her to develop jeans, and they cut jeans based on her body. So she's called a fit model. Her name is Natasha Wagner. And it says that she has a perfectly average body, which is considered a perfect body. It's a size 6, 28-inch waist, 5'8". I disagree. But anyway, so they have this picture of perfection. And as I looked at these pictures and I thought about it, I started saying, how many people here, how many girls look at these images and try to measure up? They try to measure up to these images. How many women look at these images and try to measure up? They're like, well, I'm not 5'8". Well, I'm not a 28-inch waist. I'm not that. And so they have this, in essence, they have this like a yardstick of perfection. And they have this, and they said, well, the standard is right at the top of this yardstick, and I need to be like this yardstick. And so they do everything. They try to get the perfect hair, the perfect makeup. They exercise a lot, and what God hasn't given them, they go out and get surgery to try and measure up to get closer to their picture of ideal. And you know, and I say this, and I'm like, no matter how much they try, the picture of ideal, they never quite measure up. I've not yet met a person who says that, I look at myself in the mirror and I just look and I'm like, doggone it, I am perfect in every way. Husbands, how many of you look at your wives and say, by the way, don't answer this, my wife doesn't quite measure up. I'm not talking about my wife, but she's not 5'8". And so you subconsciously kind of like look at her as a little bit less than what she really is, because you're measuring up to a standard of the standard that you have set up, or that the world has told us is the ideal. You know, I was in a supermarket. This is some years ago. This is probably about 10, maybe 15 years ago. And this lady came up to me, and she started talking to me. And at first, I thought, well, she's just talking to me because, anyway. But anyway, she started talking to me, and then she started asking me about Donna and the kids. And I'm like, well, she obviously knows me. But she looked familiar, and I couldn't tell. It's like I couldn't place her. And so then she started asking me about a project at work. And I couldn't place her. I was like, I know her. And it took me a few moments before I realized that I worked with her. I work with her. I currently work with her at the time. But she was just coming from the gym, and she had her hair in a bun. She had no makeup on. She was sweaty. She was bummy. And let's just say that there was no perfect hair. There was no perfect makeup. There was no airbrushing around. And she looked a whole lot less than ideal. You know, I was thinking about this, and I just kind of, you know, recounting this in my mind and thinking about, well, Mother's Day, and all throughout America, all throughout the world, almost always, the verse that people go to, or the passage of scripture that preachers go to all the time, is Proverbs 31. They talk about a Proverbs 31 woman, and pastors will start out, or preachers will start out like this, and they'll tell you stories. So they'll tell you like, this woman, and I want to tell you a little bit about this woman that says in Proverbs 31, I call her the perfect woman. It says here in Proverbs 31, verse 11, it says her husband can trust her. And that may not seem like a big deal, but when this was written, is that women were like second-class citizens, and women weren't educated, and women weren't a whole lot of things, and so men didn't trust women with the business of the house. But this woman, she could be trusted with the finances. She could be trusted with the business stuff of the house. An example of this would be putting your wife in charge of all the finances of the house, and you just chill, and you just relax because you know she's got it taken care of. And because of that, she's taking care of that, she greatly enriches his life. And it says that in verse 11. And then in verse 12, it says that she's always putting her husband's needs above hers. Inadvertently, as you guys are hearing this, this starts to happen. Woman, you're saying, well, where do I stack up against that? Oh, yeah, I do the financing at home. I got this. Some may say, well, I don't really do that, so it's like this. A little bit higher. But then he goes on to say here in verse 13, he says that we see her being in charge of all the non-business aspects of the house. Not only is she doing that, she is making clothes. She finds wool and flax, which is like linen, and she busily spins it. Means that she's making sure that the family has clothes and she's taking care of stuff at home. Her husband doesn't have to worry about that because all that is being taken care of. We see in verse 14, we see here that she's watching for the best sales. She's a coupon cutter. By the way, my wife, I got to be careful here because, you know, I got to make sure I know what to say. I got to remember filters. My wife, when she went from full-time to part-time, ever since we got married, she's been saying, hey, Gary, when can I go part-time? When can I stop working? And I always like set the bar a little bit higher. Every time she gets close to the bar, I set it a little bit higher. So when we decided she could go part-time, I'm like, well, you know, that means we're going to have to cut some things. Man, she went on this coupon craze. I was like, oh, baby, we're not going bankrupt. Please. I was like, no, we can't buy that. It's not on sale. But anyway, this woman, she watches for bargains. And she's like ships that trade. You know, traders, they look out for the best deals. And she brings her food in from far away. My father, he would drive 20 miles to save a penny on gas. I don't think this is what the author had in mind when it says bring food from far away, but she looks for the best deals. And because she's a businesswoman, she figures out what makes the most sense. And it goes on to tell us that in verse 15, she rises up while it's still night. So, you know, she gets up early while it's still dark. And she provides food for her household. Yesterday, we had our small group meeting, and we were talking about one, and I'm not going to call any names because I was told I can't, or shouldn't rather, not that I can't. One lady in our small group, she wakes up every morning and she prepares breakfast or some semblance, you know, some little easy breakfast for her husband every day. I don't know if it's before while it's still night, but this woman does that. And not only does she do that for her husband, she does it for her kids, and she does it for her entire household. Now, most women right now are thinking, well, if I'm not married, well, am I going to get up every morning? He can get up too. He make me some coffee. And you do this. Well, how do I measure up? So she's taking care of the family, and she's making stuff to sell. But she's also, check it out, she says that she inspects the field. So after she wakes up early, she makes clothes, she then goes out and inspects the field and buys it. She's like a real estate investor. She not only is that, not only she's a real estate investor, she then takes a profit from it and invests it in something else. She invests in it, and in this it says she takes her earnings and plants a vineyard, something that she can get some pleasure out of, but also can generate some more money. But not only does she do that, she makes clothes, and she makes belted linen garments, good clothes. She makes good stuff and sashes, and she sells it to the merchants. I want to ask you, ladies, does this look like you? How are you stacking up? How are you stacking up? Kids, young people, is your mom stacking up? Husbands, how's your wife stacking up? Those questions you shouldn't answer. But we see here that she makes sure her dealings are profitable. Not only does she do all of that and does all this business, she makes sure it's generating some money. You know, like Mr. Wonderful. You guys watch Shark Tank. And so we see her doing that. But not only does she does that, man, she's never tired. She's never tired. She's clothed with strength. So she gets up early in the morning. She makes clothes. She makes breakfast. She goes out. She's investing. She's buying a field. She's planting a vineyard. She's turning all over. She's searching for the best gas prices. She's never tired. She's just strong as an ox. Hi, ladies. How are you doing with that one? Never tired. And it says here, not only does she do that, but, you know, she's like an energizer bunny. But she keeps working for the good of others. She extends a hand to help the poor and opens her arms to the needy. So she's always looking out for people in need. And she's like, always like, oh, so-and-so has a need. Oh, he has a need. Oh, let me go pick up the kids from school because I think I heard last week the mom says that she's struggling with finding somebody to pick up the kids on Wednesday because she has to work. Whatever it is, she's always willing to extend a helping hand to the poor and open up her arms to the needy. But not only that, she doesn't even go to bed early. I'm like, wow. She works into the night. So she wakes up early in the morning. She does all this stuff during the day. She's helping the poor and the needy, and she works into the night because her lamp is never extinguished at night because she's always working. She's always doing stuff. By now, you're probably thinking that, I don't know what Pastor Nod said back there. He said something. By now, you're probably thinking that, man, okay, she's doing all this. She's got to look pretty bad. She's got to look pretty haggard. This is probably big old bags underneath her eyes and everything. Because she's not getting any sleep. But, she's, you see here in verse 22, that, the second part first, her clothes are made of linen and other expensive material. One version says purple, the other version says expensive material. By the way, when her husband comes home in the evening, she is looking good. She's looking hot. And her bed looks pretty good too. She makes coverings for her bed. So she's like doing all this stuff. And when her husband comes home, she looks good. And they have a pretty nice bedroom to go along with it. And nobody can hold a candle to her how she looks. You know that song, The Men All Pause When She Walks Into the Room? Well, you guys probably don't know that. You're good Christians. You're not supposed to know that. But not only that, you know, it's like a Ginzu knife. She has a really great sense of humor. She laughs all the time. You know, things come in and she's just fun to be around. I want to ask you, how are you doing so far? How are you stacking up? She doesn't worry about the future because she's got it all covered. So she can sit around and with people and socialize. I don't know when she finds time to socialize. It's probably between 2:30 and 3:30 a.m. But not only that, she argues rationally. When she has a fight, when she has an argument, everything that she says to her husband, to her kids, they can't even answer it because it makes complete sense. Her husband or kids never have to say, "What? That makes no sense," because when she talks, it's full of wisdom, like, "Oh, snap, I'm out." And she gives instructions with kindness. Not only does she give instructions to her kids, she knows the right ways to say it. Or when she tells her husband stuff or tells her servant stuff or whatever, she knows the way in which to say it so that they always takes it the right way. How are you stacking up? Think by now, I need some longer arms. You may be thinking that, wow, this sounds like a good woman. I'd say it's even better than that. Some people may say it sounds like an ideal woman, a great woman. But depending on which version of the Bible that you're reading, she's called by many names. She's called the virtuous woman, or the noble woman, or the excellent woman, she has all these names. She may even call the ideal woman. She's called the perfect woman. How you doing with that? How you doing with that, ladies? How you stack up to this woman that we describe and talk about so much in Proverbs 31. See, this is a definition of a superwoman. She has it all. You know, people say, can you have it all? She has it all. She has her husband. She has her kids. She has businesses. She has money. She has everything going for her. She laughs a lot. She's a good sense of humor. She looks good. And her bedroom looks pretty good too. And she's never tired. And she argues well. How many of you men, another question not to answer, wish you had a wife like that? You can't even smile at that question. Especially if your wife is here, you get elbowed. Kids, how many of you wish you had a mom like that? Woman, how many of you wish you were this picture of this ideal, of this perfect woman? You know, Proverbs 31 starts out, verse 10, where this starts talking about this woman, starts out by asking this question. Here's the question that it asks. It says, an excellent woman, one who is spiritual, noble, intelligent, and virtuous, ideal, perfect, etc. Who can find her? Who can find her? And the author is asking this question. It's like, where can I find this perfect woman? Where can I find this ideal woman? And the answer to that question is, you can't. The young people would tell me that that's the definition of a unicorn. You can't find a unicorn. She doesn't exist. And if she exists, you couldn't get her. Because it'd be too great for you. The Bible even tells us this, that says her value is more precious than diamonds and pearls, than jewels, and she's worth far above rubies or pearls. You know, this passage was written by King Lemuel. And people, Bible scholars said King Lemuel was actually King Solomon, using a pseudonym, using another name. And this actually, words were given to him by his mother. His mother, King Lemuel's mother, if you kind of go back in a little bit of history, she said to him, says, son, when you're looking for a woman, here's what I want you to look for in the perfect woman. And she goes down the list of all these things. And not only does she does that, she actually writes it like poetry. So in the original Hebrew language, every one of those things that I went through, Each one of them starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet, all the way down. And she said it so that he could remember, but she also said, who can find a woman like that? See, the standard that she set was like really, 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 really high. Perfect hair. Perfect makeup. Perfect body. Perfect wind blowing through the hair. Perfect spirituality. Perfect mother. Perfect businesswoman. The ideal of perfection with the bar supremely high and the ideal and the standard way up there. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about, well, when God inspired people to write the Bible and God put down his thoughts in the Bible, God set a standard in the Bible. He set a standard, and there are all these commandments that he set. He said, don't lie. Don't steal. Don't cheat. Don't lust. Don't covet. And he goes down and he sets up this standard and this ideal. And he looks at it and he says, who can match that ideal? And the answer is, no one. He says this here, for everyone has sinned and fallen short of this ideal. Everyone. Woman, you set up this ideal. Men, you set up this ideal for your wife. Well, God set up an ideal also. And the fact is, nobody can come anywhere near the ideal that is set up. That is set up. And, you know, and the Bible even goes on and tells you, like, in case you didn't realize that, it says there's no one righteous. No, not even one. In Romans 3:19, it tells us this, and it says, obviously, this law applies to those whom it was given. For the purpose of that law, the purpose of the law, the ideal that God gave, was to keep people from thinking they could measure up. He wanted to say, when he set up these ideas, he's like, look, there is no way anybody in their right mind can say, I can measure up to God's standard, to God's glorious ideal, to God's glory. Whatever version of the Bible you're looking at, all of us have fallen short of this glory of God. So God sets up this ideal and he says, you can't do it. Can't do it. And you think about it, he says, man, isn't that like cruel? That God set up a standard that he knows that there is no way that we can reach that standard. Why would he do such a thing? And I love God, right? Because he says, look, I'm even going to do you one better. Instead of trying to achieve this, and if you're a woman trying to become the woman and the perfect woman and getting plastic surgery and getting all this other stuff, and if you're just, you know, the average person out there trying to measure up and trying to live up to an ideal, and you're trying hard, and he's like, okay, today I am going to be nice to people. I'm not going to think evil thoughts. I'm not going to lust. I'm not going to do whatever. And every day you fall short of this ideal. So God says, I'm going to do one up better. And he says that, look, I want to let you know that you can be made right with God by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. So God set up the standards. He's like, look, I can make you meet that standard. You can be exactly at the standard and have a right standing with God. And it's true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. He's like, but God, can I be made perfect? He says, yes, you can be made perfect, because for one, By one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. You got to stand up here and God is like, listen, look, when you accept me as your personal savior and put you as Lord in my life, the standard is up here, but I'm going to stand beneath you and I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to raise you up. And in my eyes, you are made right. You are made perfect. You are made holy. And you have all the benefits of perfection. And whether you are a man or a woman, you're standing perfect in the eyes of God. I'm like, God, I mean, I don't have to try to get the standards. He's like, I am underneath you. I'm lifting you up. I'm giving you that perfection, your right standing with God. And I don't know about you, but that makes me really happy because I no longer have to strive to meet God's ideal. All I got to do is just believe. And I'm seen as right and perfect in God. And I especially like this because it says everybody has fallen short. And all my life, I have fallen short. I've stood short. But now I have a right standing with God. I'm tall. Hallelujah. And you know, and he calls this grace. And grace is literally getting what I don't deserve. See, because God says that, hey, everything that I've reserved is only for perfect people. You got to be this ideal. You can't hang with me unless you're perfect. But God says, I'm making you perfect. And I just love that. And you know, and I get all the blessings of it. And the funny thing is, we oftentimes still doing this. And God's like, stand on me. I got you. You know, as Jesus was leaving, getting ready to be crucified, and you know, he knew his time was near, and he was giving some final instructions to his disciples, and he was using every opportunity to give some instructions. And there's an instruction that he gave in John 13:34. He said in John 13:34, talking about, we had all these commandments before. The commandments set this standard, right? The commandments set the standard. And he says, look, I'm giving you just one new commandment. He gave them another one too, which actually comes before this. But this verse, he says, here's a new command I'm giving to you. Love one another as I have loved you. So key words, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. That is like the Department of Redundancy Department. You guys didn't get that. Okay. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. He repeats that after he's made a statement. He says something, then he says something, and he repeats it again. And Jesus said, basically, because the grace that I've given you, and I have overlooked how far you've fallen, and I've given you a right standing with me, I want you to extend that grace to each other. I want you to extend that grace to other people. Now think about this incredible love that Jesus had for us, that while we are totally messed up and doing this, falling short, he died for us so that we can stand together in the right standing with God. He overlooked, he extended grace to us. He didn't hold our imperfections against us. And he treated us as if we were perfect and given us all the benefits of perfection. Thought about the ladies. And the ladies in our life who society says, this is perfection. And we around them, all of us around them, including them themselves, are jumping after this perfection because they believe that's what others we around want to see in them. There's something inside of people that believe that they need to constantly strive to look good for other people. And God says, look, when you love one another as I have loved you, something begins to happen. You no longer are looking at some ideal set by the person, but because of the love and the grace you're going to extend to them, it's going to be like this. They're going to look like they're perfect in your eyes. And every day I look at my wife and I wake up in the morning, she may not have the prettiest look from everybody in the world because she's just rolling out of bed, but I look at her and I think she's beautiful. And I tell her she's beautiful. And I call up my mom and I tell her, Mom, I love you. My mom has made a whole bunch of mistakes. Everybody has, because we all have fallen short. But I look at her and say, she's a good mother. She's a blessed woman. And I treat her as if, faults and all, as if she's perfect because of the grace that God has extended to us. So you may not be like this perfect woman. You may not have the perfect hair, the perfect makeup, the perfect body, the perfect spirituality. You may be tired at nighttime sometimes, and when your husband turns over to you, you want to do this. You may be irritable. You may not handle money well. You may be up to your ears in debt, in credit card debt. You may got two jobs and you can't spend enough time to spend that you want to spend at your kids. Maybe you shout at your kids a little bit too much. Maybe the burdens of life have robbed you of your joy. And you can fill in the maybes, 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 maybes all over the place. Maybe when you try to measure up, you feel like a big fat F, a failure. And you know, you can go down and really come down in your sense and that list and find a myriad of ways in which you're not measuring up, that you're falling short as a woman, that you've fallen short, or the woman in your life you think have fallen short of this ideal. But I want to tell you two things as I start to bring this message that God has laid in my heart to a close. So two things I want to tell you this morning. The first one is directed to any woman who's married. It's directed to any woman who's single. It is directed to anyone who is a mom, any woman who is a mom. It's directed to any woman who has a mother. It's directed to anyone who had a mother. And it's directed to anyone who is a mother to others. I think I probably could get every woman in that list. If I don't, you're a unicorn. If you've ever made a decision, and this is directed to the woman, first thing I'm going to tell you, if you've ever made a decision to give Jesus full authority in your life, God sees you and treats you as perfect. God sees you and treats you as perfect. You may be sitting around depressed that I don't look good, I have a big belly, I have a whatever. God sees you as perfect, as the perfect woman. By the measurement of the world, by the measurement of your kids, by the measurement of the standards, you may be less than perfect by their measurement, but as a child of the King, as a child of the God Most High, God sees you as perfect. There's no need to measure up. There's no need to try, because God's standard is the only standard that matters. And so, in order to get this solidified in your mind, if you're a lady here today, Actually, I want everybody to say this because it applies to everyone. If you've accepted Christ, I want you to say this. In God's sight, I am perfect. In God's sight, I am perfect. One more time. In God's sight, I am perfect. That's the first thing I want to tell you today. The second thing I want to tell you, by the way, if you're wondering if that's scriptural or not, it is. You can look it up. It's in Colossians 1:22. The second thing that I wanted to tell you today is directed at anyone who has a wife or anyone who has a mother. So the thing that I want to tell you is that I want you to give honor and love to the woman in your life. Not just today, but make it be a part of something that you do. That when you wake up in the morning, you think, I'm going to give honor and love to the woman in your life. And you do that by following the new commandment, the new command that Jesus gave, which is love them like I have loved you. You extend grace to them even when they don't deserve it. Even when they're tired and irritable and angry and they look nothing like that Proverbs 31 woman. They don't even measure up to one verse. Give honor and love to the woman in your life. Give honor and love to the woman in your life. And you do this in two ways, right? For those of you who have a mother, the Bible tells us to honor them. It actually tells us to honor your father and mother. I'm focusing on mother this morning. Honor your mother, which is the first commandment with your promise that your days will be long on this earth. And that means that word honor, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, in the Old Testament, it means heavy and weight. Put substance behind what you're doing. In the New Testament, it talks about value. And it says, give a heavy weight of value to your mother. Give a heavy weight of value. Whenever they say, whatever they do, give a heavy weight of value to them. And that's how you honor them. By the way, you do that to your father also. Your days will be long on this earth. And the second thing is to husbands. The Bible tells us what you should do. It says, husbands, how you live out John 13 is love your wives like how Christ loved the church. And this is how you do it, that you'd be willing to take a bullet for her. That there is nothing that you wouldn't do, even giving up your own life. And she must feel that she is special in your life. In your life. So here is the thing that I'm going to ask you to say out loud, because I want to get this into your psyche. So, if you have a mother, if you had a mother, if you know any mothers, whether you're male or female, if you know any of these things, I want you to say this. I will show love and give honor to the mothers in my life. I will show love and give honor to the ladies in my life. You know, in doing this, you're actually living out what it says in Proverbs 31:28. Her children will rise up and bless her. And husbands, when you do that and you give honor to the ladies in your life, you still live that out because it says, and her husband praises her. Praises her. Because in Proverbs 31:30, a woman who fears the Lord would be greatly praised. Would be greatly praised. Folks, you know, I'm going to invite the praise team to come up. But, you know, this message this morning was really directed at the ladies in our life and at women, but it applies to all of us. If the standard you're measuring yourself against is like the standard that the world sets, you'll experience failure. Because you won't meet it. You'd experience shame because you can't measure up to it. You'd experience burdens because you're constantly jumping and can't reach. But here's what I want to tell you this morning. If you have given Jesus control of your life, you now have a right standing with God, and God goes to a conversion that converts it from like the English system to the metric system. And that conversion, he will take your shame and he'll turn it into grace. He will take your burdens and he'll turn it into blessings. He will take your pain and he'll convert it into purpose. He will take your cross and he'll convert it into a crown. He will take your hardships and convert it into hope. He will take your failures and convert it into favor. And he'll take your past history and he'll convert it into your destiny. And this applies to everyone here today. God wants to give you a right standing with him today. And the offer is open to you to accept that right standing. So no longer are you striving after here, but you have a right standing with God right here.